MoneyWeb now on the money. Also available on podcast.
This podcast is brought to you by Standard Asset Management. Invest in more global opportunities through their partnership with JP Morgan Asset Management.
In a report published by Business Tech, the finance minister, Enoch Godongwana, is said to have, quote, shut down calls for a wealth tax and an apartheid-era redress tax, noting that South Africa already taxes the rich heavily. Those in favor of the tax argue it could add billions to the fiscus. So who are the wealthy in South Africa that are caught slap-bam in the middle of this debate, and how are they taxed? Andrew M. Oils is head of research at New World Wealth. He joins us on the line for more. Thank you, Andrew. You for your time this morning. So how are the wealthy defined or measured in South Africa?
Well, in our Africa Wealth Report that we do with Henley and Partners annually, which is actually coming out in a couple of months, the new one, we define it as someone with liquid wealth of over $1 million. So that's liquid wealth of over around 17 million rand. And there are around 40,000 of those individuals living in South Africa. So I'd imagine those would be the 40,000 that they would be looking at in terms of a wealth tax.
Mm. Okay. So in South Africa also, we'll get into the wealth tax in a few moments. There's always reference to the so-called 1%. And with that 1%, we're also made to understand that it comes with a certain level of income. So with the work that you do, the 1% that we're referring to, how should we understand it?
The 1% was mainly a measure that was done in the US because about 10, 15 years ago, the 1% in America was the same as all the millionaires. They were the same. So there was 1% of the population were millionaires. Now in the US, about 3% of the population are millionaires. So in South Africa, though, it's only about 0.1% of the population are millionaires. So it's it differs from country to country. Mm-hmm. Like in Switzerland, it's like 5%, about 5% of the population are millionaires. Mm-hmm. So I think the 1% was really something that was very relevant in the US about 15 years ago because it was the same as the millionaires. But I think it's not actually particularly relevant in South Africa.
Fair enough. When we speak about the wealth tax, before we go into lessons we can draw from other countries, what is the current stance or feel when it comes to the wealth and them being taxed? The finance minister says, well, we're taxing the wealthy enough.
Well, I think one of the big problems and a thing that's very rarely discussed is just the social contract that exists, the invisible social aid contract that exists between high-paying taxpayers and the government. I think countries like Australia, for instance, where there's a very strong social contract and people believe that their tax money is being spent wisely, mm-hmm. you could probably maybe get away with a wealth tax. I think in South Africa it would be difficult. I mean, you look at Eskom, for example, it seemed like the more money they threw at it, the worse it got. So I think the idea that if you give more money in tax, the country is going to get better, that isn't necessarily the case. And South Africans are quite skeptical of that. So I think that you've got to have a very strong social contract between the high-paying taxpayers and the government for a wealth tax to work.
I was actually going to ask you about international examples, but then I guess the example that you just alluded to now, it doesn't matter where it is in the world. We should just understand it in terms of this invisible social contract. If the country works, I'm happy to contribute. If it doesn't, then I worry about where the money is going.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, Australia's in a way not the best example because they don't actually have a wealth tax and they actually don't have a state duty either, which is kind of a wealth tax on death. Whereas they have a state duty here. So Australia's actually got much lower taxes than South Africa, but they do have a strong social contract. The countries that have wealth taxes, there's only a few. Norway has one. They've also got a very strong social contract. Spain has got one. France used to have one. But if you look at all those countries, they're currently losing high net worths to migration. So you could argue that their wealth tax haven't worked because if it's causing wealthy people to leave, then you probably will pull in less money. And I think one of the biggest problems, though, with the wealth tax and the reason it doesn't work is the admin involved it's very, I mean, and essentially you've got to value each person's assets annually. So it's a huge amount of admin for the individual. They've got to obviously have tax advisors and accountants to do it. And then also for SARS, it would be a massive amount of work. Because if you look at on estate duty, when somebody passes away, you have to value all their assets, and it's a huge job. It takes sometimes six to 8 months. They'd have to do that every year, essentially, on the person. So it's not as easy as income, where you just get a PAYE slip and they can just deduct it. There's a lot of things that wouldn't be accounted. It would be a huge amount of admin, and I think that's one of the biggest problems with wealth taxes, why they haven't really worked.
Thank you very much, Andrew, for your time this morning. Andrew M. Oils is head of research at New World Wealth.
This podcast is brought to you by Standard Asset Management. Invest in more global opportunities through their partnership with JP Morgan Asset Management.